or wait will only make me weak. Written by Hafa Gone and read by Flower Parish. This is a Danny Phantom and Batman crossover, rated for teen and up audiences, in which the creator chose not to use archive warnings. Abridged summary. Upon learning her adopted son is related to Bruce Wayne, Maddie tries to convince Danny to abandon the League of Assassins like his twin had before him. Unfortunately for everyone involved, it's a lot more complicated than that. Mountain song chills my warm skin. Ballad of a lonesome thief. Curse the ground, shed my own sins. The rain will only make me weep. Maddie was on a roll. She had been a little nervous when she found out the tech exhibition would be held in Gotham. It had been a long time since she had traveled across state lines without her family. Oh, she wasn't worried about her safety. Despite the city's reputation, Maddie was more than confident that she could handle it on her lonesome. Rather, she worried more about the expo itself. Maddie would never turn down the opportunity to talk about her research if she could help it. This exhibition would be the first time Fenton Works had a platform in years. She didn't want to waste a chance, but she also didn't want to make a fool of herself. As much as she missed her husband and wished she could have been here with her to see it all, Maddie knew it was for the best that she made the rounds tonight. Although friendly, Jack wasn't suited for the business jargon. There was a reason only one invitation had come, after all. It was a shame she couldn't have made it a family vacation. She felt like she never saw her children these days. Jazz was in her last year of high school and already prepping for university. Between academic and part-time work, it was like her daughter was never home. And then Danny was, well, Danny. Maddie didn't know where he went during the day, and she knew better than to ask. As long as he didn't bring his mess home with him, Maddie counted her blessings. If only the dress had been a little more comfortable. Maddie attempted to, surreptitiously, adjust the skirt of her dress. It was a striking gown, with a slit that reached her knee and a slouch the material that perfectly rested on her hips. It was in her favorite color, too, a lovely teal that reminded her of Jazz's eyes. The stylist knew her tastes all too well. Except it chafed in certain places, so unlike the cool latex and hazmat blend of her suit. She knew better than to turn away the gift. She did. However, turn away the impressionable men that attempted to steal a moment of her time. Maddie humored some of them, if only to ensnare a potential investor. For the others, she just flashed her wedding ring with a vapid grin. It was sad how often that trick didn't work. Maddie tucked a business card into the pocket within her clutch, yet another gift she couldn't turn down. It practically spilled out of her bag now. She had made good on her promise to Jack. She wouldn't go home empty-handed tonight. Of course, it would take time to make all these calls and get all that funding through, but their dream was one more step within reach. She almost bounced on her heels in excitement, a bad habit she had passed down to Jazz, unfortunately. Maddie almost looked forward to seeing it again whenever Jazz inevitably received her acceptance letters. "You look like a woman on a mission," a new voice laughed. Maddie turned her attention back to Bruce Wayne and startled at the sight of him. She knew he would be in attendance tonight. The information packet had listed his name amongst the guests. Maddie had only obsessed over it for the entire flight. She was a touch surprised Vlad hadn't come. She thought he would have jumped at the chance to spend a night with her, even out in public, without Jack around. But maybe he hadn't been invited at all. How embarrassing. Maddie fixed a demure smile on her lips. "You must be the Mr. Wayne I've heard so much about." Heard was the operative word, of course. Maddie had never cared about celebrity drama and news. The most gossip she got was from her weekly book club nights with some of the other moms in the PTA. She had never bothered to look into photos, no matter how much the other ladies swooned over the 5-time consecutive winner of the Bachelor of the Year award. Now, she wished she had, because Bruce Wayne looked uncomfortably similar to her son. Maddie had never asked about her son's birth father. She knew his mother, and she thought that was enough. She had certainly made it clear to Maddie that it was more than enough. Frankly, Maddie never thought it would be relevant. She had always thought of Danny as an island, detached from the strings that sought to bind him. Maddie would be stupid to think it was true, of course, but it was an easy mistake to make. This couldn't have been a mistake. Her overseers should have known Maddie would make the connection. Danny might have stepped further out of her purview in the last year, but Maddie had raised that boy for 7 years before it. She knew his face like she knew Jazz's, like she knew her own. There was no way this meeting hadn't been intentional. It frightened her. Bruce replied with a smile, just as much as he replied with words. Hopefully not too much, I always love to keep people on their toes. Maddie laughed with him, airheaded and carefree. But make no mistake, when she tucked a piece of hair behind her ear, wedding ring glinting in the overhead lights, Maddie was anything but foolish. She tracked his line of sight. He barely glanced away from her face to peek at the ring, but the motion was there. His smile never fell. "I didn't catch your name, Mrs.," Bruce trailed off to allow her to reign over the conversation. He acknowledged she was married. That was one point to him. A lot of the others hadn't bothered. "Dr. Maddie Fenton, actually," she answered with a disarming smile. Maddie shook his hand but didn't hold on for longer than was politely necessary. "And I can promise you've done a wonderful job at keeping up the mood. I heard you're the one that ordered the champagne tower." "Oh, well, you know they say champagne towers are so tacky at weddings nowadays," Bruce said, lifting one shoulder in a casual shrug. It made her take note of the suit. Expensive, perfectly tailored. Her gown had come with the tag attached. It'd been a whopping 7 digits. She had to wonder how much his had cost. "I didn't want them to go out of business." "How altruistic of you," Maddie hummed. "How very in character," she didn't say, even if she really, really wanted to. She had no proof Bruce Wayne was her son's birth father. It would be easy to assume, but Maddie knew better. This could very well be a test. Maddie wouldn't put it past Talia. Maddie just needed to figure out how to spring the trap. "Father, there's no more fennel tart tatin. Do you want something else?" A teenager interrupted their conversation. He didn't bother to address Maddie, didn't even look her way. "Damien, we talked about this," Bruce sighed, already sounding weary to the bone. Maddie knew the feeling well, as a mother to 2 teenagers of her own. Could she call one of them her own, when he very clearly belonged to another? Maddie knew she shouldn't stare. It wasn't polite. It gave her away. But Damien Wayne stood right there, a picture-perfect blend of his mother and father alike, and a near-exact copy of her son. It was somehow easier to pick out the differences than the similarities. Like how Danny was a tad paler in comparison, from years working in the lab at her side. Or how Damien had their mother's eyes, a vibrant fern green. "Danny has his father's eyes," Maddie thought, near hysterical. This was a trap. Maddie had been set up. What other reason would she have to be here? Why else would she have been sent to Gotham when all the years before it had been passed over? Something bad was going to happen. Maddie didn't have to feel it in her gut to know it was true. She only prayed that she could go home before her whole world burned. "Don't worry, Mr. Wayne," she assured the man. It was the one last measure of pity she could offer him. At this age, most teenagers only think with their stomachs. Damien furrowed his brows at her, put out by her remark. He practically pouted at her now. It was against all basic decorum. Maddie could have wept. He was so free. His father, on the other hand, jumped at the chance to salvage the conversation. "Do you have children of your own?" Bruce graciously asked. Well, Maddie could award him points for trying. "Just 2, she said, dipping her head to evade his persistent stare. "A daughter and a son. I hear you have quite the handful yourself." "Handful," Damien scoffed. "You couldn't count us on 2 hands. The boy yelped as Bruce nearly smothered him with how roughly he ruffled his hair. "Father!" Damien whined, and immediately Bruce let go, watching his son's futile attempts to pluck his hair back into place with amusement. Maddie sucked in shallow breaths. She hoped no one noticed. They looked so happy. Could her family have been this happy too? "Are you all right, ma'am?" Damien addressed her at once. Maddie startled again, feeling silly. He addressed her with the same intensity his mother would have had she been in his place. Maddie just hoped she hadn't given anything away. "Just a little homesick is all," Maddie promised him. She didn't hide the longing on her face. No one had to know what she really longed for. "I believe we were about to talk business," Bruce tried again, quite the non sequitur. Maddie accepted the invitation for what it was, some pity of her own. Maybe she would head back to the hotel after this one. She didn't feel like talking anymore tonight. Maddie didn't know what to expect. She had practiced the conversation in her head the entire flight home. She must have gone over it 1,000 times. For what little good it did her, anyways. How could she ever hope to predict Danny? She definitely couldn't predict his answers. Maybe she just didn't want to hear his excuses. Her mind wandered as she waited for Danny to come home. Jack had left on an adventure of his own, out on Lake Erie. Maddie only hoped he hadn't brought Vlad with him. Jazz should still be holed up in the library for the next hour. And then she liked to grab dinner with her friends and bring home extra. Maddie didn't know where Danny had gone. Maybe out with his friends, maybe with a league contact. She didn't ask. She knew she shouldn't ask. Yet she couldn't help but wonder, had he known about this plan? Had he been in on it? Had it been his idea? She didn't think Danny would do that to her. He didn't always see eye to eye with her or Jack, but he had never done more than complain or criticize. Danny had never been needlessly cruel. Maddie remembered a time when Talia had called him soft. Except Maddie didn't know Danny at all these days. Once upon a time, she had been his closest confidant. Those days had long since passed. Maddie had been warned by other guests about Damien Wayne. Looking back, she wanted to laugh at their naivete. If Damien Wayne was considered cold, what would Danny be? Frigid. She heard the front door swing open. "I'm home." Maddie took a deep breath. There was no time for those thoughts now. "I'm in the kitchen," she called back. Maddie didn't bother to get up from her seat. Danny always gravitated to the kitchen when he came home. He'd find her waiting. She snuck a brief glance when he shrugged off his bag in the doorway. There was a spatter of blood on his shoe. Maddie didn't ask. "Did you have a good day at school?" It was an easy question to fall back on. She didn't have to ask, it wasn't her jurisdiction, but it was a hard habit to break. Danny had never requested that she stop. Besides, it maintained the illusion of a happy, modern family. "The sooner I can quit PE, the better," Danny bemoaned. She almost smiled. Most kids hated the physical demand of PE class. Danny just hated how much he had to hide. She dragged the palm of her thumb along the crisp corner of a business card. The Wayne Enterprises logo taunted her. Maddie swore she had memorized every loop and curve of Bruce Wayne's phone number. She steeled her resolve. "You have a twin." Maddie didn't see any reason to beat around the bush. Danny had stuck his head in the fridge to look for a drink. But now he pulled away, staring straight ahead as the door slammed shut. It was another few seconds before he turned to her, a frown etched on his forehead. "And," he remarked, "what about it?" The bubble had burst. Maddie didn't know why it all felt so underwhelming. "You never said anything before," she pointed out. It was a lame argument. Maddie didn't have the temperament right now to muster anything better. "It was above your clearance level," Danny told her, tone clipped. Should she be flattered, then, that she had just been offered information on a silver platter? "He attended the tech expo in Gotham, then." She sucked in a harsh breath. "You knew all this time?" I have not been banished here, Danny drawled, unimpressed. I maintain contact with the League. You've read my reports. He tilted his head, considering. He hasn't exactly been quiet in Gotham. I get comparisons often. Maddie hadn't even thought about that. Danny must have known this would happen, that one day Maddie would get wind of it and ask him for answers. Just because she could recognize a trap didn't mean she couldn't willingly walk right into it. So Bruce Wayne really is your father? She didn't even have to ask. I can only assume so, Danny replied with a shrug. It was the most casual he'd been so far. We look alike, of course. Mother wouldn't have let just anyone claim custody of Damian, either. Does he know about the League of Assassins? Maddie didn't want to believe it. He might not be as ditzy as everyone said, but it was hard to believe it was all a facade. Maybe she should start believing when she lived with a lie. Mother never said how, Danny said in lieu of an answer. But there is a reason why he no longer courts her. Did Danny just confirm that Bruce Wayne disagreed with the League of Assassins' ideals, and he had lived to tell the tale? Talia must be soft on him. Maddie didn't think she could be for anyone other than her son. Her sons. When did life become so complicated? Probably the moment she had shaken hands with Ra's al Ghul, just days after her college graduation. Does he know about you? Maddie whispered. Had he approached her on purpose? Had he seen through her shame? Damian might have told him, Danny said, unfazed. What difference does it make? He's lived with our father for 5 years and nothing has changed. She didn't break eye contact. Do you want it to? Danny gave nothing away as he stared at her. She didn't let his silence deter her. Do you think Damian left the League? He did. His tone brokered no argument. Why does that matter? Are you still loyal to the League? It was a tentative hope, but one that burned through her without relief. He offered a sardonic smile. I'm still here, aren't I? Right. This was an assignment to him, nothing more. A mission to complete. A job to see through. Danny felt nothing for them. Maddie didn't believe that for a second. Do you want to leave? She pressed the pad of her thumb against the Wayne Enterprises logo. Maybe Bruce Wayne had little power over the League of Assassins, but Maddie could think of another Gotham native who might. Danny tilted his head. Is this a conversation you want to have with me? You would commit treason. I could report you. Would you really? Maddie challenged. You didn't report me when I used League funding to pay for Jazz's hospital bills. The stare abated. She watched as Danny covered his eyes with the palm of his hand, heaving a long, drawn-out sigh. Misuse of funds will add to your debt. It will not get you killed, he hissed. He lowered his hand to fix a dark, hooded glare at her. It will not get your daughter killed. I don't want you to feel trapped, she interrupted, lips pursed. You're my son, too. If you want to, I'm not your son, Maddie. Silence followed, poignant and suffocating. I have never been your son. Did you think you could turn me into a civilian after the life I've lived? Did you think you could domesticate me? He raised his brows at her, expectant. Times like this reminded Maddie why Danny had always been Ra's al Ghul's favorite grandson. And these past 8 years meant nothing to you? She matched his glare. I know something changed last year. I know you've been assigned a new mission. Danny drew to his full height. Please, Danny, you weren't subtle. You've been sneaking out past midnight, coming home with cuts and scrapes, and you literally have blood on your shoe right now. She gestured to the foot accusingly. Your grades have tanked. Your social life is in shambles, she pointed out relentlessly. Your civilian cover is falling apart and you don't care. And you don't think there's a reason for that, Danny cut her off. His tone chilled her to the bone. You don't think it won't matter soon enough. Maddie opened and closed her mouth a few times. She had worried over his fake identity for months now, and it had never crossed her mind that Danny's inattention had been intentional, that his civilian cover could be tossed aside like a dime a dozen. Maddie always thought he might leave someday, escape to greener pastures. She had never thought he would leave her to go back to that cesspool. "And your friends?" Maddie whispered, mournfully. "You've known Tucker and Sam for years. They've been your best friends for years. You would throw that all away to go back there?" "Friends are good for the civilian cover," Danny told her. "I would draw more attention from school staff if I kept myself isolated. Samantha and Tucker are good choices. Samantha holds similar values to Grandfather. A little more encouragement and she could be swayed. Tucker has potential. Grandfather is always looking for more cybersecurity experts. He would be an asset to the cause." "Is that the excuse you tell Roz, or is that the excuse you tell yourself?" Danny gave no reply. He merely peered into her soul, no visible reaction to be found. "What do you hope to achieve here, Maddie?" Danny asked, voice deceptively light. "Are you hoping for an admission of guilt? Are you so desperate to believe I can be changed? Or are you just too stubborn to admit that you weren't enough to change me?" Air could not pass through her lungs. She wheezed for relief, chest constricted around the knot in her heart, bottlenecked at the lump in her throat. "Talk to me about this again, and I will report you." It was an ultimatum if she'd ever heard one. "Do not mistake this as sentiment. You have been loyal to the head for many years. I would hate to see you fail because you are confused." "Are you really so cruel?" Maddie gasped, lifting her gaze to meet his. He had never been the most physically intimidating child, but today he seemed different. Today he had her pinned to the chair like a bug on a board. "Of course I am," he mocked her. "I'm your son." She inhaled a sharp breath, the sound drowned out by the click of his shoes on tile floors as he swept out of the kitchen. Moments later, she realized she was shaking. Seconds after that, she realized the Wayne Enterprises logo was misshapen. Oh, no. Those were her tears. Maddie had always been stubborn to a fault. She didn't know where Danny had gone. Once her tears had dried, he could have been anywhere. Maddie hadn't heard any doors open, but he had never needed a door to escape before. She didn't know what the League had taught him before he came to live with them. She could imagine it well enough. The lab was her first destination, and it turned out to be her final one, as she found Danny curled up in the secluded corner of the lab. He kept most of his experiments there, the ones neither she nor Jack were meant to disturb. Jack had tried to, once, out of curiosity. It was a lesson swiftly learned. "If you want to leave, we can help you," Maddie said. "Jack and I have some savings. We can give you a little startup fund to help you get out of the country. We could help stage an escape, make it look like you destroyed some experiments and ran. It would set us back a few years, but better a few years for us than let you waste the rest of your life." It was not an empty threat, you know, he interrupted her, gaze lifted from the clipboard he'd been scribbling over. I know, she replied, and I still mean it. All of it. Maybe Danny Fenton is a lie, but I have enough faith in Fatih Al Ghul to try. Danny looked down at the clipboard again. He didn't write anything else. She patiently waited for the moment he would slide the clipboard back on the table. Her patience was rewarded, but the silence lingered a while longer. I can't leave. Maddie stepped closer, careful to broadcast her movements. You can. Damien left. That's the problem, Danny revealed. Damien left. There is only one heir to the Demon's Head now. He just looked tired, defeated, resigned. Like this was simply the way of the world and there was no point in fighting it. I could go anywhere, he said, a sigh clinging to his breath. I could go somewhere they would never find me. And where would that leave Damien? There was a wounded look in his eyes as he turned to her. What happens when there are no more spare heirs? If I leave, Grandfather will come back for Damien. Danny laid it out. Plain and simple. Damien is only afforded this freedom because Grandfather knows he has me. I can't leave. Maddie understood now. Danny wasn't loyal to the League. He was loyal so Damien wouldn't have to be. Damien wouldn't want this. She didn't have to know the boy to know this much. We don't always get what we want, Danny remarked blithely. He returned his attention to the clipboard again, scribbling away. Maddie knew she was dismissed. This conversation was over. She could push again, fight just as she had fought to have this much, but she couldn't find the words either. She didn't know how to fix this. It was hard to swallow the fact that she couldn't fix this at all. Maddie moved to leave the lab. Her foot touched the first step just as she heard a quiet sniffle. It was so quiet it could have been the ventilation system. Something in her blood roared, though, and she turned around to find Danny hunched over the desk. She didn't make a sound. She wanted Danny to think she'd already left. Danny muffled a gasp with a hand, shoulders drawn tight to temper the shivers that racked his body. Her mouth fell open when she noticed a stain on the papers, bleeding through ink. Maddie was wrapping Danny in a hug before she even realized she'd walked back over. He gasped out a sob, body trembling as he visibly wrestled his emotions back under control. She had never seen him cry before. Maddie knew what she had to do. Hello, is this Bruce Wayne? Yes. Hi, this is Dr. Maddie Fenton. You gave me your phone number at the Tech Expo a couple days ago. I've been doing well, thank you. I just wanted to ask you, has your son, Damien, did he ever mention his twin to you? The end. Author's endnotes. A Turkish masculine name, originally from the Arabic Fateh, which translates to conqueror or victor. The name Damien has a Greek origin, so I thought it was only fitting I use the Turkish spelling of the name instead. Damien means to tame, so what better way to mirror him than to name his twin to conqueror? Or, well, the closest I could get to it. Danny did not, in fact, have a new assignment from the League of Assassins. All the cuts and scrapes and blood Maddie noticed, it's from ghost fighting. So, why did Danny still insist his civilian cover wouldn't matter soon? Danny knows he can't keep his half a status a secret from his mother and grandfather forever. There is, in fact, a very high chance that those two already know. For Talia to send Maddie to Gotham, whilst knowing Bruce and Damien would be there, doesn't spell well for Danny any more than it does for Maddie. Is Talia a good parent in this? She is a very complicated character with a very complicated relationship with her children. I don't think good or bad could ever fully encapsulate her relationship with Danny in this fic. Do Jack and Jazz know that Danny is from the League of Assassins? Jack knows. He also made a deal with Roz, which eventually resulted in Danny's placement with the Fentons. Jazz doesn't know. She knows that Danny came from a very bad home life, but all her attempts to talk to Danny about it have been met with very strong acidity, so she tries for more subtler routes, with little success. Does Damien know Danny is alive? What answer would be the easiest to swallow? Potfigures note. This has been potted for ITPE 2024 as a gift for my gifty K-Burb. I hope you enjoy. I'm not your